Psalm 18. There we are. All right. Now, on Tuesday nights, we've been going through a class with Reverend Finnegan on standing in adversity. We've been looking at the life of David in light of the Psalms. And a lot of the Psalms that we've been going to have been Psalms where David was in trouble and how he went through adversity. And this Tuesday's our last one, right? This Tuesday, But one psalm that David wrote that we're not covering Tuesday night, I'm covering this morning with you. Ho-ho! And that's Psalm 18. And this psalm is a great psalm. I think you're really, really going to love it. And if you turn to Psalm 18, you guys there? Now, you guys, 18. You guys see that in your Bible? Everybody there? Look down. If you had a Bible, you see it? Do you see where verse 1 is in Psalm 18? You see how you got words there before verse 1? Ooh, you see that? That's a psalm title. And that's what we've been doing Tuesday night class. And this gives you information about what the psalm is about. It's the occasion for which the psalm was written. And this one I actually put up here. Actually, this is from the King James Version. But this is what this psalm title is. It says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of Yahweh." Uh-oh. My Norton protection isn't on. I turned that off so my computer runs smoother. Don't tell Tom Riley. I'll get in trouble for that. But Psalm 18 says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, of Yahweh, who spake unto Yahweh the words of this song in the day that Yahweh delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul." A lot of the verses that we've looked at in Psalm in the Tuesday night class have been about this time when God was delivering him from Saul. But then David went on after Saul died, and he had other enemies, other nations, the Syrians, the Aram, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Edomites. These nations were fighting David. They were his enemies. And once David conquered all these nations, he put forth this song. This psalm about our God and about his delivering power. And it's really, really, really awesome. I can't wait to share this. I'm so excited. Now, I got to show you, can you guys see that okay? This map shows, this was the kingdom of Saul. You see I guess it's mauve. We don't use pink in our family. So that's mauve, that color. That was the kingdom, that was the nation of Saul. When Saul was king, David became king. And for 7 years, David ruled in what's known as Hebron. Now, actually, I should have put that on the map. You see the word Judah there? In the letter A of Judah, that's about where the city Hebron is. And for 7 years, that's where David was king. Now, God had delivered him from Saul, but you see all these, you have the Aram, Syria up north. You have the nation of Ammon, Moab, Edom, these nations. These were David's enemies. They were nations. He was being fought from the north, the south, the east, and the west. These nations were continually after Israel. And what you will find is that David defeated every single one of them. He defeated all his enemies. All his enemies. The first thing you see, what city's not listed here, is the city of Jerusalem. Did you know that for all the 400 years of the judges, Jerusalem was not run by Israel? Did you know that during the whole kingdom of Saul, Jerusalem was not a city of Israel? It was run by another nation, other enemies, the Jebusites. After David was at 7 years in Hebron, he said, "Okay, we're going to go take Jerusalem." He said, "Whoever will lead the army up there, you're going to be my commander." And his nephew Joab led the army. They defeated the Jebusites. And then David took Jerusalem. Zion, God's city. He got his city, Jerusalem. And then David started ruling from Jerusalem. He brought the Ark of the Covenant in. They put it under a tabernacle of David, and there was great praise and worship. But these nations continued to fight David. And David never lost a battle against these foreign nations, against these enemies. So those Edomites and Moabites and Ammonites, they all tried to come up against David. David took over them. They all became part of Israel. They became servants to Israel. David ruled these Gentile nations as part of the nation of Israel. And then later the Syrians, a bigger nation, tried to take David, and David took over them. This became, it like doubled in size, the nation of Israel, during the time of David. And actually, you remember way back with Abraham? Abraham, you guys remember Abraham? What did God promise Abraham? Land, right? He promised Abraham from the river Euphrates to the brook of Egypt. From the Euphrates, that Gulf of Aqaba, that's the Red Sea. That's the land that David, that God promised Abraham. And David finally got the land that God had promised his people. And do you know, this is the greatest extension of the nation of Israel ever. To this day, Israel has never occupied the land that they did under King David, when he defeated all these enemies. That area of Syria that we're looking up there right now, Aram, part of that right now is occupied by ISIS. You know about that in the news today? During the time of David, this was the nation of Israel. He defeated all his enemies. And then he put this psalm forward. He put this psalm forward. So, this psalm is about God's deliverance. It is about God bringing deliverance to his people. And there are a lot of metaphors in this. Do you know what a metaphor is? You guys know what a metaphor is? A metaphor is where you use something. Like if I was to say, Danny is a ninja. That's a metaphor. Now, I think Danny thinks he's a ninja. But is he really a ninja? No. So what is that? What does it make you think of Danny, though? Right? He's Ninja Man. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor where these great examples of what... Now, let me ask, I'll ask the children, I'll ask everybody this. Can you see God?
No.
Has anybody ever seen God? No. But God is real.
Amen.
How do we see, how do we envision the invisible God? Metaphors. And here in the book of Psalm 18, there's these tremendous metaphors about God, and particularly we're going to see about what God does when you and I pray. When we pray, and the power of God goes into action, woo-hoo! Behold, he comes right in on the clouds. I mean, it is exciting stuff when we pray, and that's what the psalm is about. And we're going to take a look at this today because it's really awesome. So, Psalm 18, verse 1. Let's get into this. He says in verse 1, I love you, O Yahweh, O Lord, my strength. And in these things, you'll see David is a very personal. It's my God, my strength, my rock. I love you, Yahweh, my strength. Yahweh is my rock. You see that? He's my rock. He's my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Let's look at this for a little bit. He says, it says, God is my rock, right? I just happened to bring with me a rock. What do you think about a rock? It's hard. You don't want to get hit with it, right? That would hurt. Boom, I'm not going to throw it at you. Okay, so God is a rock, right? But you know what? This rock, yeah. I think, when I think of God as a rock, this is the Rock of Gibraltar. At the south of the Mediterranean, south of Europe, at the southern tip of Spain. It's the entrance of the Mediterranean Sea. That's huge. That is a huge rock. You see those little things there? Those are skyscrapers on the bottom there. Okay? This is the rock of Gibraltar. You know the insurance company Prudential? This is their trademark. God's a lot better than Prudential, by the way. But so this is the rock of Gibraltar. And you know what's cool about this? There's caves in there. You can go and hide. I mean, actually, it's quite a tourist thing. You can go inside. But it's a shelter. It's a rock. God is a rock. He's not a little rock. He's a rock. He's solid. He's unmovable. He is a fortress that does not move. It weathers the storm. He's a rock. That's the first thing it says God is. The next thing I want to look at is He is my shield. Shield. I was trying to find a shield. I was going to bring one up here and have you guys throw stuff at me. But at first, I didn't think that was real safe. But then secondly, I couldn't find a shield. So I got these shields. But what's a shield do, right? It defends, right? It blocks. Remember in Ephesians, that the shield of faith quenches the fiery darts that are thrown at us? God's a shield. Okay, I have to admit this. I watched Captain America Civil War last night. Captain America. And what is Captain America's main weapon? Shield, baby. And that, you ever see that? I mean, that Captain America shield, it's impenetrable. I mean, that thing, he could block. I mean, he blocks lasers and bombs and, you know, he could block everything with that shield. Captain America's shield's nothing compared to Yahweh as our shield. I mean, He can block whatever comes our way. Yahweh is a shield. Got it? That's what He said. God is a shield. He blocks the enemy when He attacks. Another thing that's in here is that He is the horn of my salvation. I had to think about that one. You know, I heard that term, and I never really stopped to think, what does that mean? The horn of my salvation. And this, I found some interesting things about the horn. The horn, what is it that provides strength to the oxen? The horn. The horn represents strength of the animals. It is their strength. It is their horn. And that's kind of how it's used. See that? This is a wild ox. The horn is used. And that horn of the bull, that horn represents the strength. And it represents the strength of salvation. Do you see over here on the left? The horns of the altar. Horns were put on the corners of the altar and on the corner of the incense. The horn representing salvation. And when the high priest would go there, he would sprinkle blood on the horns for their salvation in blood. On the altars. Isn't that wild? David said in another Psalm 92:10, he said, "But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil." The horn, remember in Daniel, when he talks about the end time, when this beast that's going to come, what's he called? The little horn. The horn is this strength, this strong one that's going to... The horn represents strength. David says, God is the horn of my salvation. He is the strength of David's salvation. And he boldly proclaimed that. That's awesome, huh? And then finally, I put these two together. He says that He is His fortress and His strong tower. His high tower. He's His high tower. Strong tower. This is Israel. You see, both these are pictures of Jerusalem. First, God's a fortress. He's like a castle wall, right? Now, Jerusalem is a unique city in that it's on a mountain. So just to get to the city, you have to go like 5,000 feet up. You ever climbed a mountain? That's tough. So if you're an invading army, you got to climb a mountain, and then you got a fortress on top. of wall, a walled city. He's a fortress. And then it says he's a stronghold. King James more accurately translates, I think, a high tower. There's another similar word, Migdal Oz, which is a strong tower. And the Tai Tower was designed in the cities. It's inside the city. This is the city of David. That's the Tower of David that exists today. It wasn't from the time of David, but today this was built. I think it was built during the time of the Ottoman Empire. But it's called the Tower of David. It's inside the walled city. And a strong tower was the last of defense. When all else failed, if they could breach the wall to the high tower, and they would go up to the high tower. So, like if I was, I imagine there's steps going up there. You know, you ever walk a village? 500 steps. You ever like walk up like the Statue of Liberty? Right? You just keep going around. To get to the top. Imagine trying to carry military weaponry to try and go up to be. It's really tough. The other thing about High Tower, while we were on this, we actually went to this in Israel. And from up here, you could see the Dead Sea. Over 50 miles away. Your vision. I mean, you can like see forever on a high tower. God is a strong tower. He is the last. He is the defense. When all else fails, he's your high tower. He's your defense. He's a rock. That's what David said. This is the introduction in this psalm. Now he starts getting into what the psalm's about. Verse 3. He says, I will call upon Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. So that's what the psalm's about. Calling, crying to Yahweh, and him bringing deliverance. And then it says, here's another metaphor of David describing himself in trouble. He said in verse 4, the cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded us. The snares of death confronted me. In these two verses, you have a Hebrew parallelism. Two verses basically say the same thing in a different way. He says, the cords of death encompassed me. The cords of Sheol, or hell, surrounded me. The torrents of ungodliness terrified me. That just sounds bad, doesn't it? The torrents of ungodliness. And I was trying to figure out, now, Annabella, I'm going to ask you to help me here. And I'm going to actually ask any of the other children to help me too. Come here. Annabella is going to put the cords around me. Okay, I want you to start tying me up. Okay, David says, and the rest of you children could go and come around me. Just start circling around me and start, you guys be the torrents of ungodliness, okay? Circle around me and go, and laugh at me. Go ahead, just start circling me. Start circling me and torrent me. Oh, the cords of death. The torrents of ungodliness. Oh, it's terrible. You guys are good actors and actresses. I'm so terrified. Oh, there we go. The torrents of ungodliness. The cords of death. And, okay. All right. Okay. That's good. Now, I don't want to get too tied up because I got to get out of this. Okay. This could have worked out. This could have come out really bad. Okay. So then what David says is, I cried to Yahweh while he was tormented. Okay, you guys are really tormented. You guys are really wonderful. Okay. But you did a good job acting. Okay. So now I got to get out of my rope. But so, see, you get it? The cords of death surrounded him. The torrents. Of course, he could never have gotten out like that by himself, because it was so bad. Okay, you guys can go back to your seats. You got that, though? They surrounded him. The torrents of ungodliness. The cords of, he was shackled. He was bound. And then what did he do? What do you do when you are bound? When you can't get out on your own? Who is going to be your rock? Who is going to be your strength? Who is going to be your fortress? Who is going to be your high tower? Who is going to be your deliverer? Who is going to be the horn of your salvation? This is who David, look at this. The rest of this psalm is just fantastic. So Psalm 18, the cords of death surrounded him, the cords of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. Then verse 6, in my distress, I called upon who? Yahweh. I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. I said, help me. Help me. He went to God and he cried, help me. And he heard my voice out of his temple. And my ear for help came before into his ears. Now, watch what God does when his people cry to him for help. This is what David thought about his God. What about your confidence? How confident are you in your God, in our God to bring deliverance when we need him? He said, verse 7, after he cried to God, look at this. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaking because he was angry. God was mad that his man David was in trouble. And it says the ground, okay, you guys ready? Okay, everybody's got to do this. You guys ever see the movie Star Trek? You know when they used to get, the older people remember this, remember? In Star Trek, when the bridge, they were always, okay, ready? Everybody's got to do this in your seat. You don't need to get, I want you to imagine that you're in an earthquake. You make noise. The whole earth shook. Because God's about ready to move. The creator of heavens and earth is coming down. The whole ground shakes. The earth quaked. And then it says, verse 8, smoke went up out of his nostrils like a fire. And fire from his mouth devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he sped upon the wings of the wind. In the book of Ezekiel, it talks about those cherubs. I mean, these things are amazing. They have six wings. What is that? They got four heads. A bear, a man, a lion, and an eagle. What is that? And they got wings. And it says that when the sound of them was, this shows God riding on a cherub. He's coming down, baby. He's coming down to bring deliverance. He is coming down. The heavens shake, and he's coming down riding on a cherub. Woo! This is a powerful stuff. It's a powerful God. It's great. And then it says he made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around about him, darkness and waters, thick clouds of skies. From the brightness before him passed his thick clouds, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens. Okay, can we make the sound of thunder? Can we do this? Ready? Ready? One, two, three. Thunder. He thundered from the heavens. All right? And the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones with coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered them. Lightning flashes in abundance round about them. Can you see it? Lightning. Hailstones. Riding on a cloud. Coming down on the cherub. Woo! Yahweh's coming down to bring deliverance to his man. No enemy. No cords of death. Nothing is going to stop when he is coming down to bring his deliverance to his people. Because he's Yahweh. And then it says, Verse 15, the channels of water appeared and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Yahweh, at the blast of your nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but Yahweh was my stay. He brought me forth into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. Look down at verse 30. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of Yahweh is tried. He is a shield. There is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God but Yahweh? And who is the rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He trains my hands for battle. Verse 35, you have given me the shield of your salvation. Verse 36, you enlarged my steps. My feet have not slipped. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not back until they were consumed. Just fantastic. Oh, that's the verse. I missed verse 29. I wanted to read that one. He says, for by you I run through a troop, and by my God I leap over a wall. You know what I think of with that? A troop. Like I picture, again, I don't know why I picture Danny when I picture somebody running real fast. But, you know, a troop, you know, it's like a battle, a troop. I picture like the troop is like a bowling pins, right? And the bowling ball is David running. At, you know, by you I run through a troop. And by my God I leap over a wall. By the power of God that was in him when he prayed, that's what happened. And then he goes down to verse 43. You have delivered me from the contentions of the people. You have placed me as head of the nations. A people who I have not known serve me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Foreigners submit to me. Foreigners fade away and come trembling out of their fortresses. David defeated all those enemies, those foreign nations. They all became servant to David. David became their king over Israel and over these foreign nations. That was all part of David's kingdom. And then verse 46. Yahweh lives, blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. The God who executes vengeance for me and subdues people under me. He delivers me from the enemies. Surely you lift me up above those who rise against me. You rescue me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Yahweh, and I will sing praises to your name. He gives great deliverance in his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to his Messiah, to David and his descendants forever. So, this was David in the Old Testament. Now, David's son was born, that one that would come, Jesus, the Messiah of the seed of David, who is bringing to pass the kingdom of God. And you know, I think of what it says in Romans, where he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can stand against that kind of power? No one. No one. And then he says, if he gave his son for you, what will he not do for you? You know, he gave his only son for you. Is he gonna condemn you? And you know, he is. We have so much available to us today, and David in this psalm just shares such great truth about our God.